Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and thanks for tuning in to Inside Scoop Live. I'm your host, Juanita Watson, and joining me today are three of the contributing authors to the new book, The Art of Grandparenting. First, we have editor and publisher of this book, Valerie Conley. Valerie divides her time between publishing, writing, composing, painting, and traveling, an educator and international traveler since her days as a Peace Corps volunteer. Valerie taught French language and literature in Illinois for 3 decades. She founded Nightingale Press in 2003, and the company to date has published more than 85 books, many of them award-winning titles. Valerie hosts an internet radio talk show, Calling All Authors, at globaltalkradio.com, and her personal website is valerieconley.com. Also joining us is Rochelle Shapiro, and like the heroine of her internationally selling novel, Miriam the Medium, Rochelle is a phone psychic who lives in Great Neck, Long Island. She has been written about in the New York Times and Newsweek, My Turn, as well as articles in Jewish Week, the Jerusalem Post, and Red Book Magazine. Rochelle teaches writing at UCLA Extension and reviews books for Kirkus, PW, J Books, and Southern California Review, and her website is miriamthemedium.com. And my third guest, Jerry Helms, is a life and health coach working with people who wish to make lifestyle changes that are conducive to weight loss and maintenance. She also leads teleseminars, workshops, and spiritual retreats geared towards the betterment of women. Her book, Trust God and Buy Broccoli, A Spiritual Approach to Weight Loss, was published in 2007 and details how she lost over 100 pounds. Prior to coaching, Jerry spent 25 years in the corporate arena. She has written for the Brevard County Magazine and has been featured on many radio and internet shows. Her personal website is lifecoachjerry.com. So that said, I want to welcome all of you fine ladies to the program today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be here.
Wonderful. Well, I'm going to start with Valerie. You are the editor-publisher for The Art of Grandparenting. I'd love to find out how the idea for this book came about.
Well, it's pretty self-explanatory in some ways. I discovered I was going to become a grandmother, and I was delighted. Just totally thrilled. And then I panicked because I myself had never had grandparents. I was born late in the lives of my parents. Their parents were long gone before I even came on the scene. So I didn't have grandparents. I didn't have any firsthand experience as a child. And then as I raised my own children, my parents lived so far away that they were occasional guests, but it wasn't a grandparenting on the site kind of relationship either. So I thought, well, gee whiz, what did I do when I was going to have kids? I did a lot of reading about it, and then I looked for grandparenting books, and there weren't any. And I said, well, what do you know? I'm just going to have to go out there and find some authors who know how to write and who are grandparents and who will share their advice. And I just put it out into the Ethernet among a number of writing colleagues that I have. And the most wonderful people came back, and we created The Art of Grandparenting together.
It's a wonderful collection. I mean, it really, really is. And I don't think there's anything else out there like this book.
No, not at all. It is not grandparenting for dummies. It is the art of grandparenting.
So what does that mean?
There is an art to it.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
The art of grandparenting?
Mm-hmm.
Well, from my viewpoint, if there's a balancing act that you have to learn to manage between your children as parents, and of course they are your children, but they are parents now, and you also have to accept that you as a grandparent have a tremendous influence on the new child if you want it, and it needs to hopefully be a good influence. So you have to bring all kinds of creative ideas to that situation, and every single one is different, just like your own children were all different. And I just thought, well, art, there's an art to this. Somebody knows what to do, and that's the way we went with it.
Rochelle, did you know there was an art to grandparenting?
Well, I wouldn't have known it from my grandparents, frankly. My mother's mother, she did things, for example, I would give her a painting and she would hide it behind her washing machine in the basement because she said that the mouth was a little crooked, or my other grandmother really never had time for me. Mm-hmm. So I knew I didn't want it to be that. And I also knew I had to, my mother-in-law was a very tough woman. When she came in, she would run her finger over my furniture to see if there was dust, and she had vociferous opinions about everything, especially my child rearing. So I was going to be very careful, and I adopted the wise remark, keep your mouth shut, your pocketbook open, and wear beige.
That's the magic formula.
That is the magic formula. Don't intrude on anybody. My Uncle Kenny used to say, oh, if only we could raise the neighbor's children. And mm-hmm. what he meant was we have objectivity with other people's children. And with our own grandchildren, we have learned through the mistakes we made with our children and just through the life, you know, that life hopefully brings us new thoughts and new wisdom, but we have to be very careful about pressing any of this on our children, even if we see that they might be doing something wrong. They're very tender about this, and we have to be very careful and sit back and only tell them really what we think if asked, and then phrased carefully.
Mm-hmm. Very good point. What about you, Jerry? The art
of grandparenting. Well, you know, I brought no experience to grandparenting because I have never had children of my own. I inherited two beautiful grandchildren and three children from my husband, whose first wife had passed away. So, and she was like a great mom and a great grandma. So I really, I had to learn not to compete with that. I mean, I got a book, Step Parenting for Dummies, and what I learned from that was to not try to be a replacement for this mom, but to be a friend to these grown children, and whatever, let the grandma role, evolve as it will. And that worked really well for me.
So Jerry wrote one of the funniest essays for the book, too.
Really? Can you give us an idea of what it was about?
My husband works part-time at Disney, so we get to go to the park all the time. We live in the Orlando area. And so we got permission to take the children to the Disney World. And my granddaughter, or 18 months old, and my grandson was 4 years old. And the other grandma dropped them off. And to make a long story short, my granddaughter had a dirty diaper. And I never changed a dirty diaper before in my life, but... And I went in it with my usual self-confidence and really learned by fire.
Uh-oh.
Right there. I tried to change her at a restaurant where there was no diaper-changing table and they didn't have paper towels and blow dryers and no soap. It just was like the comedy era. I got powder all over the two of us. It was. I was wondering what I was getting myself into.
But it makes for a great story.
Oh, yeah, it does. It does.
That's fantastic. Well, Valerie, where did this this term gray boom grandparent come from?
Oh, my webmaster and I were tossing around other ways of attracting attention to the whole thing. And mm-hmm. the fact that we are all kind of graying and we all belong to the boomer generation, we decided that gray boom kind of made sense, and we just played mm-hmm. with that. And put it into our website so that people would know what to watch out for.
Yeah, I'd like to hear from each one of you how you feel grandparenting today is really different from previous generations, maybe the generation of your parents. Valerie, did you want to start?
Oh, me?
Sure.
Well, I think it's a much more cooperative thing. And like Rochelle was saying, you really have to sit back and let your kids be grandparents, be parents.
Mm.
And I found that because in my experience, like Rochelle's, there was a lot of criticism of how I was raising my children. Whenever my parents did come to visit, I got an earful on how progressively lenient I was and how that was going to form lazy children. Well, just the opposite has occurred. I have very hardworking kids. Mm-hmm. But my point is I never really heard any good stuff. So I make a point with my daughter to let both her and her husband know, individually and together, how proud I am of the way they are raising little Charlie. And they are doing a great job. So it's pretty easy to give them praise.
Mm.
But that's a big difference, I think, that in this day and age, giving praise where it is due is a whole more effective than criticism where we can all find fault with anything.
So. Mm-hmm. What about you, Rochelle?
Well, I find that grandparents, grandmothers, have much more of a life today. I'm more deeply into my career than I ever was. I put aside things for raising my children, but I'm not going to be the kind of grandparent that's going to live in their house and give up every Saturday night, every weekend to babysit and not do any of my own work. And I would say that this is true of most grandmothers. We boomers, or is it us boomers?
We are. We boomers, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah, we boomers. We really contribute in a larger way to society. Most women are retired by our age, and most of us in the book are all out there doing other kinds of things, perhaps with second careers, with new blood. So it's a different kind of thing. We don't all live close anymore. We're not going to be at each other's beck and call. And in fact, I had a friend whose grandchildren did live close by, and she ended up screening her calls because otherwise she wouldn't have had one day, one moment to herself.
She found herself as a babysitter.
Yes, exactly. A constant babysitter with no warning. And interestingly enough, I have another friend who had rented an apartment to be near her grandchildren so that she wouldn't have to stay in the house and she could be near them to visit them back and forth. And at such a young age, they had such a hyper schedule that they had no time for her, so she sold the apartment. You know, at 2 years old, they're studying Suzuki violin. It's a different life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Oh, Jerry?
Yeah, I just like the other authors have stated, my exposure to grandparenting, watching my own mother and then remembering my own grandmother was, you know, staying home, washing clothes. You could go visit grandma anytime you wanted to. Neither grandmother worked, and as the others have stated, I started a brand new career at 60 years old. So, you know, I'm still very active too. And of course, I didn't bring any to grandparenting like the others did. So I've just really kind of learned as I went along. I think that the best thing is remembering what my parents said to me, and that is grandparents should be seen and not heard. I don't know any advice. You know, I just really kind of, you know, am there with unconditional love for these two little grandkids that I have. And they live a great distance from me. I'm in the Central Florida area, and they're up in Cincinnati, Ohio. And so I don't get to see them that often. So with today's technology, I mean, back then I didn't even call my grandma because, you know, she lived a half an hour away. That was a long distance. And today with text messaging and cell phones and Internet. I mean, I hear from my grandkids a lot. I mean, they're sending me pictures, and you know, so it's really a technological world for grandparents.
Yeah, that's really true. I mean, we can really connect. Do you think most people of that generation, most grandparents, are willing to look at the computer and really absorb the new technologies? Jerry?
I think boomers my age do. I mean, my exposure to people around me is we're all computer savvy now, and we all have the fancy cell phones. And I mean, I'm a slow learner. I just really got my own Facebook and Twitter, and now I have I had to buy text messaging from my phone because they text message me all the time, and my phone bill kept going up. $5 a month. I can text them all I want to. But my grandkids, my grandson is 13, and he has a cell phone. So, yeah, things are much different.
Different time.
And you have to go along with today's technology or you're not going to have I wouldn't have a relationship with them if I didn't do Facebook and stuff like that.
That's a really good
point. I just want to add that the book is filled with tips, tricks of this kind and many, many others. Every single chapter had so many wonderful bits of advice and techniques and things that people had learned from their own experience that I collected them at the end of each chapter. So the person reading the book is going to have a reference book, too.
Fantastic. So it's not just personal stories.
Well, the stories are definitely what it's all about.
Yes.
But it was really good, I thought, to bring that experience into a very easily accessible listing of tips and tricks in each chapter, so at the end of each chapter. So, you know, it helps to be able to, for me, I mean, reading this book helps me.
To get a heads up, it's a primer.
It is. It's a very useful tool. And it's
good
for seasoned grandparents as well. It's not just for newbies like me. It's for everybody.
So this book actually turned into a larger project with the whole social networking site. And it's found at the website, theartofgrandparenting.com. Tell us how that kind of evolved, Valerie.
Well, you can't have a book without a website in this day and age. And so I threw the cover images at my webmaster and said, we got to have a website. It should be a social networking site. People want to learn from each other and talk with each other. And admittedly, we need to work with everyone and help them. Some people had a little trouble figuring out how to set up their profiles. Once they did, of course, it helped. And I think grandparents need places. There are a lot of I did put a resource list in the back of the book also of other websites and things that are useful to grandparents. To gather information about things that they are particularly looking for. And the Art of Grandparenting website is a place where I'm hoping to draw people to talk with each other and share and network and you know, hey, it worked well for me, maybe this will work.
Are most of the resources available right now online?
Yes, they're all, the resources I put in the book are all websites that are particular to grandparents. And also there's a section in the back of the book books, children's books, teen books, and grown-up books, actually, that are great for grandparents to read to their children. And I have to admit, I did populate that with books that our authors have written, the contributors have written, and some of the authors from my own company, because we have a number of wonderful children's books that I thought would be useful to the grandparents. So I put them in there. Why not?
Why not? We all need resource sections like that to refer to. Well, I would like to hear from all three of you as to maybe some of the pitfalls of grandparenting that you found and then really what your greatest joys are. So why don't we start with Rochelle?
Well, one of the pitfalls of grandparenting is that you become very comfortable in your own life. You really have your own life. It's not like when you're getting married and you're getting adjusted to a new life. So when the grandchildren come, as welcoming as you are and as excited as you are, they really turn your life upside down. And I think that you have to, like, allow for those other feelings to come up, because otherwise you end up, you know, not to say them to other people, but to know, you know, I'm going to feel pretty fed up. They're going to be crying all night if they can't fall asleep. You know, at least something is going to get broken. There's going to be, you know, and just allow those feelings to come up inside yourself. Not necessarily, you might go out and just whisper it to a friend on your cell phone or something. Just know that they're going to be there. Don't feel bad, because otherwise you're in this awful position of, like, almost, you know, hating that they're there and then missing them so violently as they're pulling away.
Oh, gosh.
And it's amazing. So that to be able to enjoy, you know, usually by the time you're a grandparent, there's some amount of serenity in your home. To be able to enjoy that, just welcome the chaos, know it's going to be there, and roll with it so that, you know, you don't end up in that awful position of not enjoying them when they're there and then missing them so much when they're away.
When they're gone. And knowing that it's for a short time and they'll be going home and the chaos will end and you'll have your break.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Are you looking for new ways to promote your book? Why not consider being interviewed live? With the huge impact internet radio as well as podcasting is making in our society, your voice can now be heard worldwide. Let Juanita at Inside Scoop Live create the necessary steps for you. You will not only receive a web page of your own, but your interview will be available for MP3 download and RSS feed. As well, your interview will be posted on venues such as iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Alley, and the Inside Scoop Live blog. Go to InsideScoopLive.com today for more information. Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. I'm talking today with three of the contributing authors to the new book, The Art of Grandparenting. You can find out more about this book at theartofgrandparenting.com. Now, Joyce.
Oh, Joyce. Okay, I'm a writer, and I tell family stories in such a wonderful way to them, and they call, my granddaughter calls me up and asks me for a story, and I always embellish on an old one. It's amazing how many times, unlike the literary world where repetition is frowned on, how many times there can be such joy in repetition for children. So even if I'm telling the same old stories, each time I can have a slightly different twist, and if I leave out one line, my granddaughter reminds me. So, you know, they become very deep in a child, the way fairy tales, so they become part of a personal mythology that is really quite wonderful and carries with them in a very deep way that, you know, you can't even measure right now.
That's a very good point. How do you find good books, or how do you come up with the stories to tell them?
Well, they're usually based on things that happened. For example, one time, my daughter's name is Heather. My granddaughter is Rebecca. Heather went out with her little brother, Charles, and they were just at the side of our apartment. And Charles was very fond of climbing trees, and in his little blue snowsuit, he climbed up to the highest branches of a tree. And Heather got fed up with waiting for him, and she came in but didn't tell me that he was up in the tree. And apparently he couldn't get down. So a neighbor looked out the window, and he saw him. And you know, I embellish it, too, that he was wearing a blue snowsuit, and the neighbors thought he was a bluebird, a big giant bluebird. And then instead of saying tweet, tweet, he yelled, help, help. You know, you just embellish what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And they love the story and tell about when Uncle Charles was stuck in the tree. And each time there's some other little imaginative detail that comes to me to embellish the story. So it's really what happened having read enough children's books to know the charm of what they should, you know, what you can include. And it's very exciting to them. It's surely for them much more exciting than when I pick up a regular book and read it to them.
Yes, absolutely. Jerry?
It's about their mothers or fathers.
Mm. Jerry, how about you? Pitfalls and joys?
Well, the pitfalls for me were, and I think it's a trend today, too, is that we're creating these blended families where there are more than one set of grandparents and parents and step-parents. So I knew I had a different take on grandparenting, and it would bring something great to the book. And when I read it myself, because of the stories, all the stories in the book, there are other grandparents that went through the same thing, blending families. And my stepdaughter immediately laid out the law that there would be no verbiage such as step in our family. So I'm not a step-grandparent or a stepmother. The kids refer to me as Dave's wife. And the kids, you know, my stepdaughter asked permission for the kids to call me Grandma Jerry when Dave and I were about a week before our wedding. And I just, I mean, I really touched me because I always wanted children but wasn't lucky that way.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think that these blended family situations, there are a lot of pitfalls, but at the same time they can bring a lot of joy. I mean, I didn't bring any family baggage along. I mean, I brought total lack of knowledge and just was open to learning as I went along. And some of the joys I've had with the kids was the first time they started calling me grandma, you know. And
oh, yeah.
My grandson told me the story about how his other grandma, my name is Grandma Helms, and or Grandma Jerry instead of Grandma Helms, because Grandma Helms is an angel in heaven. So, you know, and just the stuff like that is just like so way cool. I mean, it's say and do. And my grandson got confirmed in the church this past Easter and invited me to be his sponsor. And you know, things like that are just such joy for me. And every time they come, of course, you know where they want to go. They want to go to see Grandpa drive the boat. So we have a lot of fun with that, too.
That's fantastic. You know, children are just, they're so smart. And it must really, to be a grandparent, just seeing the brilliance and the beauty of these children, it must really be incredible, this relationship, this very unique relationship.
For me, it really is.
I thought I had the two most beautiful children in the world.
Aww.
I now have the most beautiful grandchild in the world. And I see him so differently. It comes from one of our questions, how is becoming a grandparent so different from becoming a parent? When you become a parent, you have all kinds of responsibility heaped upon you, as well as the love, as well as all the questions and, gee, I don't know what I'm doing kind of feelings. As a grandparent, the responsibilities are much less on a day-to-day basis, and that heightens the, wow, look how wonderful he is. And every stage of the grandchild's development seems like magic, whereas every stage of a child's development, you want to make sure that they were healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you were so concerned that your kid was developing in the right way, according to the books. And, of course, that's ridiculous. Children, they develop the way they develop. That's how it is. But you don't know that when you're a parent. As a grandparent, you know that. So you just enjoy what they're doing, you know, that he can roll over now and he sits up and he holds his head up and he does all these babbling things. I mean, it's wonderful stuff. And it's just a whole different view, even though you've been through it with your own kids.
My daughter looks so much, my granddaughter looks so much like my daughter that it's sometimes like a time warp, or I fell into a black hole. She was even born with the same red strawberry mark on her arm in the exact same place, like a clone. And there's a couple of feelings that come up about that. On the one hand, like when I see my daughter doing something better than I did, I say, oh, I wish I had that skill or had known that. There's so much more information available to parents today. And I had read all the books, trust me. But most of the books were more vague about what to do. I remember this Chaim Janot, where you were supposed to reflect back the feeling of the child. And I remember my daughter turning to me at one point and saying to me, if you ask me how I feel about this pistachio ice cream cone, I'm going to dump it on the floor, you know? I mean, I tried so hard, but there's much more information today on blogs, on everywhere, of exactly, you know, these time outs and timing things and just very precise good sense things, whereas I was reading Spock, which told me nothing, and you know, it was very, it was hard to get any real to-do information. It was all more abstract. And I, you know, sometimes it's wistful because it seems as if my granddaughter is doing the same thing as my daughter did, but my daughter's response is so much more effective. And so, oh, why didn't I know that?
Do all three of you get together with friends that are grandparents and just kind of throw ideas out there or issues you may be having and the joys that you're having? Is that important to all of you?
My sister is a grandmother, and I tell you, I just watch how she is with her grandchildren and try to emulate her. She just is the best grandma I've ever seen. And, I don't try to be like anybody else's grandma. I want to be the kind of grandma I am.
I'm lucky. I share my
grandkids yet.
I share my joys. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know whose turn.
Go ahead.
I'm lucky. I share my joys with my older sister because she has two grandchildren that are roughly near the same age as
mine, but I find very often that I'm very careful who I say what to, because so many people are going through pain. Their children are getting divorced. They don't know where their grandchildren are going to end up. You know, I'm very, it's funny. I guard my joys as well as guarding my difficulties, because you don't want to, you know, you want to know the other person's situation before you say anything. Mm-hmm. It's a very, you know, you're treading on very, very slippery slopes in some ways. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. You don't know how it will be received. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I trust it with my sister. I know that it's comfortable. I trust it with a few friends. But I'm very careful, because I always say to myself, you know, you just don't know what situation they're really in, so don't tread.
That's a good point.
One of our contributors, Donna Davis, started a sort of a grandmother's night out in her area, in the Bay Area around San Francisco. And it became the Gaga Sisterhood, which is now a website, and it's a great place to go and share. And she did that, she said, pretty much out of the idea she needed to learn. And so one way to do that is to bring people together. I've just moved away from where I was to where I am here in Tennessee. My neighbors are all very warm and welcoming, and many of them are grandparents. Mm. Most of them are transplants from other northern climates, just like me. And, you know, I'm just kind of getting my feet wet here, but the fact that we are grandparents is practically the first thing that comes out of our mouth. So I think there's going to be some good overlap there.
That's fantastic. What a great community you're living in.
I think so. I'm very happy.
Well, I want to mention the website again. It's theartofgrandparenting.com, and the book can be found there, as well as the social networking feature. Are you blogging, Valerie?
We're going to be doing some blogging there. With the move and all, I didn't get to start that up the way I wanted to, but it's going to start, so it'll be there.
So stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Well, we're kind of coming to a close here, ladies, and I just wanted to offer each one of you a little bit of time to really share a piece of advice that you would like to do with our listeners today who are becoming grandparents for the first time. Why don't we start with Jerry?
Advice. Be yourself. You know, that's the best thing that worked for me, is just to be myself, you know, and not try to be exactly like anybody else. I looked at things that my own grandmother did that I loved and bring those to my relationship with my grandchildren. And, of course, there were some things my parents did I didn't like so well, and I leave that stuff out.
Great advice. Rochelle?
Keep a diary of your grandchildren. I did that for my children, and do you know that that's one of the first things they always ask to look at? They can't get enough of it. I kept a journal of, you know, the remarks that they made, not long things, but just little things. And to have that all saved, to have a record of it, is the most wonderful thing, both for yourself and someday for your children and grandchildren.
That's wonderful. How about you, Valerie?
Well, I'm so new to this. My grandson is 4 months old yesterday, or 2 days ago. So I'm very, very new to it. But I think the thing that I will do for him that I did for my daughters, and it's similar to the idea of keeping a journal, we kept a growing up box. And the things that he does here, when I'm crafty, he'll be doing stuff to make and sending letters and all. I expect to fill a big paper box with things that he's done throughout his growing up years, and then when he's 18 or so, I'll give it to him. We did that. I did that with both of my daughters, and those growing up boxes are still just a treasure trove of their lives as kids, and they love them. I think that's just something I'm going to try to do.
That's a great idea. Cool. How important for all three of you is having a digital camera? I mean, it's so easy to just be snapping photos left and right these days.
My iPhone took 236 pictures of Charlie sleeping in my lap while his parents took a nap. You know, I caught every grimace, every nuance of his face as he slept with my son-in-law and daughter, who were exhausted in that first week, tried to take a nap. It was really fun.
That's funny. How about the other two of you?
I actually find it a bit of an interference. It's just too much. Everything being snapped and recorded, it takes me away from that moment. If there aren't things around, maybe because I have a visual mind or something, I can actually see the things in my mind much better than if it were a still photo. That's just for me. I find, you know, there's just, I guess I remember my father-in-law always lining us up, posing for this and posing for that. And we never had that much fun there. You know what I mean? It was very, they were very serious kind of people. And then afterwards, they convinced themselves of what fun they had when they see the pictures. But I guess from having that overlay of so much emphasis on the pictures, I just, like, let myself enjoy that moment, and I can remember them. I really can.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting perspective. Jerry?
Well, for me as a long-distance grandma, we really depend on the dish cameras. I mean, the kids have them, and they send us pictures all the time of the kids playing volleyball and soccer and, you know, the things they're doing at school and all. And once we went to Disney, and I had my cell phone with me and was able to snap pictures of the kids at the new American Idol thing and send it off to their parents who weren't with us at the time. So, you know, it really, that again is how technology is really making grandparenting today different from what it was when our parents were doing this.
Mm-hmm. It seems like that is one of the really the major differences from today and yesterday's generation. And who knows where this whole technology will be taking us in the next generation.
That's true. I mean, just look at microwave ovens. I mean, I remember baking cookies with my grandma and teaching my granddaughter how to make ice cream cupcakes in, you know, in 50 seconds in the microwave and watching them get the icing all over it was just so fun, you know. So
that's
all
great.
The technology today really puts a different spin on grandparenting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I still think with cookies, you got to get messy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You betcha.
The flour, betcha. The sugar, the butter.
And you got to eat some of that raw cookie dough.
Yeah. You just have to. But on the other hand, if you don't have time, it's sure easy to pop a bunch of little chunks of cookie dough from a rolled up sausage of cookie dough thing.
Yeah,
right.
To make cookies in a big hurry.
Goodbye.
Kids will just remember that they spent time with grandma, not where the cookie dough came from.
Ah.
Well, I just thank you all so much for coming on the program today and really contributing some amazing insight and stories this book, The Art of Grandparenting. Valerie, do you think you will be continuing this project, maybe having a few more books come out on this line?
Well, we very well might. I think a companion piece, we have another grandparent book on a completely different aspect of grandparenting that'll come out next year, and it's about being a grandparent. It's sort of the dark side. Granny snatching, and it has to do with how some children try to commit their parents to an institution and take their money, and it happens a lot.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the dark side. But I would love to see a companion piece to this book that would be the kind of crafty things that grandparents do with their kids, with their grandchildren. Mm-hmm. Things they do, hands-on trips that they take, all kinds of how-tos and what-to-dos with your kids. You know, if it's raining and you were planning to do a picnic, what do you do? You know,
that's a great idea.
It might be a really fun companion piece in The Art of Grandparenting. But we'll see.
Oh.
It's only been released since the 13th of September.
It just came out. That's right.
3 days old at this point. So
but
we have some work to do.
Yeah, but I think that's a great idea. And adding some real budget-friendly ideas, you know, in the times that we're in, I think that definitely you have something there. So maybe we'll have all three of you back again when that project comes out.
That would be fun.
Yeah. Well, thank you, ladies. It's been a pleasure. I just wish all of you success in your grandparenting adventures, and take care.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right, listeners, that's been Valerie Conley, Jerry Helms, and Rochelle Shapiro, all authors and contributors to The Art of Grandparenting, a new book. The website is theartofgrandparenting.com. Check it out. There is a social networking site for grandparents. It really, really is an interesting project. Let me tell you, Once again, before I sign off, all of our authors today, their personal websites, Valerie Conley is valerieconley.com, Jerry Helms is lifecoachjerry.com, and Rochelle Shapiro is miriamthemedium.com. Well, thank you again for tuning in to Inside Scoop Live, and thank you so much, ladies. I'm Juanita Watson.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Juanita.
You bet. Until next time.